In the books of Acts, in which our pastor has been ongoingly teaching us, but we'll go to another doctrines or teachings in which the Lord wants us to know. So in the book of Psalms 8 verses 3 to 4, chapter 8 verses 3 to 4, it says, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him. So, in this verse, we say how God created the heavens with S, not heaven. Because some part of the scriptures tells us that, especially how the Apostle Paul told us that someone have gone to the third heaven. So, Psalms use the plural form of heavens. So we understand that there is the first heaven and the second heaven and the third heavens. And the Bible says that it is the third heavens is the dwelling place of God. And we can see also in the second heaven, the moon and the stars and the planets, which our scientists keep on discovering. So we are informed about this day by day discovery that our scientists discovering through the modern type of machines. So what we see, the blue skies and the clouds are the first heaven where the wind is, or where the rain will come from. So it tells us, what is man? Who are we to argue what God has created? So, in this respect, God's majesty, if we compare ourselves to His greatness, and if we look to His creation, we feel so very, very small in comparison. Very, very small. So, we should get back into a reality of our smallness. But God, our God, tells us also that He does not want us to dwell in our smallness. So let us praise Him and thank Him and offer to Him the honor that is due Him and worship Him for His splendor and majestic beauty. So, in a short statement or short sentence, we must be humble and give the proper respect for God and not to self-depreciations. So this verse is talking about humility. So when you talk to someone, they usually talk about their achievements, what they have pursued in their lives, and they don't want to wait you for, to ask them a questions. And that is always the problem. And there are other group of religious teachings that they brag on the miracle that God happened to them. Instead of centering their attention to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the source of making miracles. And that is the problem. So what does it mean, and what it does and does not mean to us about humility? In Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambitions or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Sometimes, probably some of us have experienced this, that we overlook others' opinions, or others' achievements, that I am better than you, I have pursued this, I am a doctor of divinity, who are you going to teach us about God's word that you have not gone to a Bible college? I have also encountered such questions that people look first to themselves and not to others. So selfish ambitions can ruin a believer, individual believer, or a church. But if we have true humility, it can build us as a church or as an individual believer. So, being humble involves having a true perspective about ourselves. In Romans 12:3 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." See. Sometimes, we are downhearted or being discouraged because as we listen to someone who is preaching to us about God's word, instead of centering the message to the Lord Jesus Christ, he centered upon himself and he think of himself highly than the one who sends him to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's happening today, especially when you go to a group of religious people and they will tell you about what they have done. So we know that we are sinners in the sight of God. But by the mercy of God, He saved us by grace. So, in humbleness, we should think that we are so important also in God's kingdom. Sometimes we have this false humility. And it can be easily noticed. So, we should lay aside selfishness and treat others with respect. Oh, just recently, someone accused me of, why did you not announce the invitations of this group to us? So, the person who told me about the accusations, I did not announce it because I don't want you to be a partakers of a wrong teaching. Because I don't want also that God will accuse me someday that I tolerated you to attend and listen to a false teaching. So I respect them, but I don't respect what they are telling us, which is false, which is against the teachings of God. We know that. So, the key to an honest and accurate evaluation is knowing the basis of our self-worth, our identity with Christ. That is, we must know our identity with Christ, how Christ will use us. Christ will not use us to tell false teachings. He will always use us as the Holy Spirit will guide us to always tell the truth. So evaluating ourselves by the worldly standard of success and achievement can cause us to think too much about our worthiness in the eyes of others than our true value in God's eyes. So if we follow the world standards of success and achievements, according to God's eyes, we are worthless. So the question again is, can we humble ourselves? Oh, Luke 14:11 says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbled himself will be exalted." So this is what Jesus says to his audience and to us and to the coming audience. He told this to the Pharisees and Sadducees and to the scribes or to the religious people of long ago. Jesus did teach about seeking honor. Some try to give the appearance of humility in order to manipulate others. So, beware that someone will manipulate you because of false humility. So others think that humility means putting themselves down. So if you look at this some priests in the Philippines, you will see them sitting at the back of the bus, because it shows that they are humble than sitting in front. Because when you sit in front, you can see the view of the road, the sideways. So there are many ways that people are putting themselves down. Truly humble people compare themselves only with Christ, realize their sinfulness, and understand their limitations. On the other hand, they also recognize their gifts and strengths, and are willing to use them as Christ directs, or the Spirit of God directs us. Humility is not self-degradation. It is a realistic assessment and commitment to serve. So, being humble is a very real assessment and our commitment to serve God, serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is another question. Can you remain humble when being praised? Oh, in the Old Testament, the books of Samuel, or there was a king named Saul. In the First Samuel, chapter 18, verses 15 to 18 says, when Saul saw how successful he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he led them in their campaigns. Saul said to David, here is my daughter, Merab. I will give her to you in marriage. Only serve me bravely and fight the battles of the Lord. For Saul to himself, I will not raise a hand against him. Let the Philistines do that. But David said to Saul, who am I? And what is my family or my father's clan in Israel that I should become the king's son-in-law? So, it means that while Saul's popularity made him proud and arrogant, David remained humble. He told Saul that he is an unknown man, he is a poor man because his family is a shepherd. So, sometimes we look down upon people who are shepherding sheep or goats or cattle. We think that they are poor, but we do not know that they are rich. Although David succeeded in almost everything he tried and became famous throughout the land, he refused to use his popularity or popular support to his advantage against Saul. So do not allow popularity to twist your perceptions of your own importance. Like Saul. It is easy, comparatively, to be humble when you are not on the center stage. But how will you react to praise and honor? Sometimes this, we have this mechanics to come and repair something which is broken down in my employer's house. And this mechanic always says to me, "Ah, you are a good man, Manuel. You are a good man. You are a good man." So, don't you know that there is nothing good in us? We are all sinners. No, you are a good man. You are a good man. So, what is my reaction? My reaction is God is always to be praised. That is always be our reaction, not us supposed to be. So what is the importance of humbling ourselves before God? In the book of Joshua, chapter 7, verse 6 says, "Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads." In those days, when people humbled themselves before God like the Israelites, they ran, they tore their clothing, and they put dust, you know, dust in their heads to show that they humble before God. Can we do that today? So, if you do that on the street, what is happening to this person? Call a police and bring this person to the, what they call that now, where they put the crazy people. No, that will happen to us if you will go along the street and when you are sorry and you put dust in your rain, you put, people will think that you are crazy. But in those days, they do that as a sign of humbleness. So why did Joshua and the elders of Israel did this? Because God gave them the victory over the city of Jericho. Jericho, the story of Jericho is a thick wall city, fenced with thick wall. So it is impossible to conquer it. So you know how God conquered Jericho for the Israelites. But when they went to a small city named Ai, oh, that small city is easily, we can easily conquer. So, the smallness of the city, without friends, without wall, we can easily conquer it. But what happened? They were defeated. The Israelites were defeated. So, what happened to them is that they give, become proud of conquering the city of Jericho. So God wants them to know that He was the conqueror of the city of Jericho, that honor and glory belongs to Him. So He allowed them to be defeated in a small city. So they go back to God in humbleness. Oh, is that true in Paul's humility? Colossians chapter 2:18 says, "Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions." Not only in the time of Jesus Christ or in the time of the Old Testament that they have false teachers, pastors, or priests. Like today, we have false teachers, pastors, priests. We are proud of their humility. This false humility brought attention and praise to themselves rather than God. You know, in one of the cities of the Philippines, Baguio City. This Baguio City is a hilly city because it is a hill. People build their houses on the side of the hill. And one of the hill is owned by the Catholic missionaries. So when you go on top of the hill, in the seminary there is this steps, ladder. Very, very high ladder. And on top of the ladder there is the statue of the Virgin Mary. So, to show your humbleness, you will climb up the stairs by your knee, not by your feet. To show that, according to them, why you are making yourself to suffer by using your knee, that God give you two feet to climb the stairs and stay easily. And someone said that to show that they are humble. So, means that that is false humility. Humility in the eyes of God. So, this false humility brought attention and praise to themselves rather than God. So, truly, when we see people like that, our attention is to them, is to see them like this. So true humility means seeing God's perspective that we really are and acting accordingly. Some practice false humility when they talk negatively about themselves so that others will think they are spiritual. So some others are talking about themselves like this, "Oh, I am suffering for Christ, I'm suffering like this." So, or during the Lenten season in the Philippines, some of you have seen them in the television. They are carrying the cross. And someone will so, they say that they are carrying the cross of Christ humbly. That's what they think. They are hurting themselves, in which they are stealing what Christ has done. False humility is self-centered. True humility is God-centered. The glory of humility is God's glory and man's honor. And that is our lesson today. Thank you for hearing. George, will you lead us in closing prayer?